Marion Leeper. She is the new Bard of Cambridge, and she's in the studio this morning. Good morning, Marion.
Hello, nice to be here.
Oh, hold on, I haven't put the... Can I say it again? Good morning, Marion.
Hi, nice to be here.
Lovely. I didn't have the microphone on there. That was silly. So, really exciting because you emailed to say that today is National Poetry Day today, and what a good time to come in and celebrate it and tell us all about what you've been up to. And but what we'd quite like to know is, what is the Bard of Cambridge? Could you explain that one first?
Well, I'm the very first Bard of Cambridge. So Bard of Cambridge at the moment is whatever I want it to be, which is quite exciting and a little bit scary.
Yes, that's right. It is a little bit scary. But I think you've done quite a bit since you were elected, haven't you?
Yeah.
And when was the election? When was that?
Well, it was in the summer. There was a spoken word festival called In Other Words. And there was a competition for the bard. And a bard's different from a poet laureate. A poet laureate's appointed by the good and great who know what they're doing. And the poet laureate does proper stuff, you know, that's approved of. The bard's elected by the people. So I can do whatever I like. I can be as outrageous as I like. And I kind of feel that my job is to be the people's voice, to say things that people want said, to make spaces for people to say the things they want.
So when you say talk about what people want, or say, do you say that, is that from a storytelling point of view and poetry, or is it just plain reading? How do you do it? How would you like to express the people's...
Well, my background is I'm a storyteller. That's my day job.
Yeah.
And so I do quite a bit of storytelling. And what I mostly tell is traditional folk tales, which are the stories of the people. But I like to tell stories with a bit of an edge. So stories that prove a point, quite often a political point.
Yeah, I like
and you
that.
Can get away with saying stuff in a story that you couldn't get away with if you said it straight.
Yeah, it's a bit like songs, isn't it, really? You can,
yes.
You can make a point through lyrical and verses through that way. And as you say, through poems as well and storytelling.
Yeah.
So what's been the favourite part? I'm sure there's lots of favourite parts, but what's been quite new to you that you've discovered over the last...
Really, I've just discovered poetry is something everyone can do and everyone should do. I was a bit of a closet poet, and then I fell in with these wonderful spoken word people at Allographic and Hammer and Tongue and all those people. And they said, no, you can do poetry. Anyone can do poetry. And I think that's another thing the bard wants to do. I like doing quite disposable poetry that I write there and then. And if I can do it, anyone can do it.
Yes. Now, you said yesterday, because we were talking about, because the theme of the National Poetry Day today is messages.
Yeah.
And you said you were asked by somebody to write a lyrical tweet, is that right?
To write a tweet poem.
A tweet poem.
Yes.
Are you able to read that out for us?
I'd love to.
Oh, good. Great. Lovely.
It is, actually, it's less than 130 characters. I think it's 111, so I'm quite proud of that. And it's called... Oh, I've just given it a new title. It's called A Poem to Annoy My Sister.
Right. Fire away.
Oldest. Biggest slice. Newest coat. Youngest. Finds treasure. Kills dragon. What about justice for the middle child?
Do you know, I can really relate to that because I have a daughter who is middle child, and so that is... What made you come up with the middle child?
Well, they wanted something on a theme of family. This was for the Peterborough Arts Festival, and I think they've tweeted it by now, so that's why it's all right to read it.
Oh, fantastic.
And I was... the first thing that came to mind is this middle child thing, and I have long arguments with my sister about this. She says, no, it's much worse being the oldest. But I know.
So I guess you're a middle child. So was it really hard to make up so many characters, or short? Did you find that was quite a challenge?
It made the poem hugely better. It was much longer when I first wrote it.
Right.
And the more you take away, the more you're left with the stuff you really want to say.
Yes, absolutely. So who do you feel that is really important to get across poetry I mean, all ages need to listen to poetry, don't they?
Yeah, and I think poetry needs to be part of everyday life. Mm. Should be on every radio programme, should be in every paper, should be at every party. You know, instead of having a band, you should have a poet, maybe, or a storyteller.
And poetry doesn't have to be a verse. It can be one line, can't it? Or a couple of lines.
Yeah.
And that's how you start. Because I remember when I was learning, when I did my degree, very late in life, I did a degree. And the one thing I asked, before I did an access course, first of all. And I said to my teacher, what is poetry? What does it mean to write poetry? Is there a rule to it? And she said that it would be a good question to ask when you get to do your degree in a year's time, but there's no rhyme or reason to it, if that makes sense. But it's just getting it down and making sense of what you've said in a lyrical, song-like way. Is that what you would say?
I think that's a beautiful way of saying it. I think someone said it's the right words in the right order for the right feeling.
Yes, it is the right feeling, isn't
it? It's just catching something.
It is. And it makes it so much more memorable reading a long paragraph.
Yeah.
One of the questions I was going to ask you was memories. From a point of your storytelling, storytelling is really, really important, is it? Because storytelling is about moving along a tale, a memory, isn't it? And retelling it, and not writing it, but remembering it so that the next person is able to tell it. Is that one of your goals?
Absolutely. Putting the stories out there, the old stories that might get forgotten. And also all kinds of stories, people's personal stories. I went to a brilliant event last night, which was True Stories Told Live, which ran in Cambridge a few years ago and has just been revived. And it's ordinary people standing up on a stage talking about something that happened to them. And I like everything from that to the big epic, the big myth, the big old stories. And it's those stories are not written and they're the opposite of poetry. They're not written and rehearsed and learnt by heart. They're just, you say the words that come into your mind.
Oh, lovely.
In response to the audience. You tell it differently for every different audience.
It's such a gift to do that, though, Marion, to have that sort of presence and to be able to stand there and reel off that. It's a lovely thing to have. And I'm sure as you go around doing that, it inspires lots of other people to think about writing and doing it. But we must talk about your stick, because you've got your...
Oh, yes. I'm going to pick it up.
Yes, go on, go and pick it up. So Marion's going to reach for it. It's absolutely beautiful. And I'm going to take a photo of Marion and the stick later. But please, could you explain about the stick? Because it comes everywhere with you, doesn't it?
It does, whenever I'm barred, and I haven't hit anyone with it yet. Actually, that's not quite true. I was just getting out of the car just now and I hit myself in the eye. But apart from that, but it's a very beautiful piece of hazel. And on the day of the Bardic Chair competition, I arrived at the junction and I found the organiser sitting on a bench just whittling this stick. And it's very beautifully sort of shaved and shaped and oiled. And I have to handle it a lot so it doesn't dry out.
Oh,
it needs a lot of use. And since then, I've decorated it. So the first event I did was a Midsummer Eve concert. So I did this little plait of grass. And then, what was the next thing? What did I do this for? Oh, I know. I did an evening of Fen and local stories at Norwich, actually. And I took it on the train. And actually, it's in the same colours of the train. It's all wrapped in beautiful coloured cloth. I didn't wrap it in the colours of the train on purpose. But I don't know if it's because it matched the train, but not one single person mentioned in this crowded train that I had this 5-foot-high stick sitting beside me.
How interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I think it's invisible.
Well, either in... Yes, absolutely. It looks too beautiful that they just assume it's just rather lovely. And
yes.
Now, I have a poem here from Granny Annie. She has actually texted in a poem.
Wonderful.
Can you see it on the screen there in front of you here?
No, screen is blank.
Right, OK, I'm going to turn it on. I'm going to just let... What we're going to do, I think, Granny Annie, we're going to have some travel news and then we're going to come back. And would you be able to read Granny Annie's poem?
Oh, I'd love to.
Oh, lovely. So let's have some news now. I'm going to catch up with the travel news, and then if you wouldn't mind staying, Marion, till after, we'll play the travel news and one more song, and then we'll come back and we'll read out Granny Annie's text poem. It'll be very, very exciting to do that. So Watch out for that. I'm just going to put the travel news on for you now. I've got Marion Lieper in the studio with me, continuing with this wonderful, lovely interview. Marion, you've just spotted Granny Annie has sent in a lovely, lovely poem by email to Cambridge 105. And I've asked Marion if she wouldn't mind reading it for us. Would you mind doing that?
I would love to. This is a stunning poem. Well done, Granny Annie. So it's actually a request.
It is a request, you're right. Yes. Does it have a title? No, we might give it a title later, actually.
It's called Okay, Not Quite a Sonnet.
It's a good one.
And it goes like this. Now, country music usually tells a story, often about a bloke who's sorry he's done a woman wrong and can only express it in a song. The woman is always beautiful, with long blonde hair and youthful. He should have put a ring on her finger, but instead he left it too long to linger. So, Susie, put down that bourbon and play us a tune by Keith Urban.
Oh, well done, Granny Annie, and well done, Marion. Beautifully written and beautifully read. Thank you very much
rhymes.
Indeed.
They are just brilliant.
They are, aren't they? They really, really are. And I'm going to have to do my homework and look up Keith Urban for you, Granny, later on this morning.
And Susie really does have a very large bourbon sitting right by her, by the mixing desk.
No, I don't, Julian. Oh, he's my station manager. If he knows that I've got a bourbon, he will be very, very not pleased. So I'd like to think I have a bourbon, don't I? Yes, a bourbon. Yes, a virtual one, absolutely. Lovely, beautiful, and thank you, Marion. But Marion, you've also brought another piece in, haven't you, that you'd like to read out, because what's the reason for this particular poem?
National Poetry Day, you should bomb the airwaves with all the really great poems that have been written over the ages. And you mentioned that a theme for it was messages and silence. And this poem's been in my head. I actually heard a recording of the poet reading it herself. And she recorded it back in the 1950s. And her voice is so posh, I had no idea. And it's by a very favourite poem of mine called Stevie Smith. Nobody heard him, the dead man, but still he lay moaning. I was much further out than you thought. And not waving, but drowning. Poor chap. He always loved larking, and now he's dead. Must have been too cold for him. His heart gave way, they said. Oh, no, no, no. It was too cold always. Still the dead one lay moaning. I was much too far out all my life. And not waving, but drowning.
Oh, wow. That's quite momentous, isn't it? That's
a gorgeous poem.
It is a gorgeous poem.
It's Wednesday morning.
Thursday morning. And it's,
Thursday morning.
And no, it's good to hear. And I sort of looked away from you and I wanted to listen to it. And it was beautiful. Thank you. Beautifully read as well. I love the way you had to change the accents as well. That was great.
It's not how Stevie Smith read it. She read it in this beautiful cut voice, very cut glass voice, really high like this.
Isn't that interesting? Well, thank you very much for bringing that in. Marion, what's future for you? What's next? I hear something's happening in November.
In exactly a month's time, 6th of November, I have a bardic chair as well as a bardic stick. And it's quite large and it's very beautiful and it doesn't deserve to be stashed in a corner in my house. So it's actually going to the Museum of Cambridge and they're going to house the bardic chair. And I'm going to take it along on the 6th of November. I'm going to sit in it, maybe tell a story, maybe do some poetry. And then anybody who's there gets a go at sitting in a chair. And if you're wondering how you start writing poetry, that's what you do. You sit in the bardic chair, you will be inspired. And we'll collect all these instant poems and maybe we'll attach them to the chair, I don't know.
That's a good idea.
And it's going to live in the Museum of Cambridge. So this is like a little launch for the bardic chair.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mariam. That's absolutely fantastic. I wish you all the best for your best of your year as the Bard of Cambridge. It's such a beautiful title, and it just exposes so much we can do with words, basically. Mm. And far more interesting, actually, sometimes than pictures. Pictures are great too, but I think words are so, so important, aren't they? And really effective.
The pictures you make in your head are the best ones.
Absolutely. Mariam, such a pleasure having you here
today.
Thank you very much for coming here at Cambridge 105.